Good afternoon, Nevada shooters. We're back, Armed Nevada Radio on 107.3 FM, K News.
It's the best hour of the week.
It is the best hour of the week. It is October 24th, 3:07 p.m., and we're here for another hour.
Let's talk about guns.
Let's talk about guns. We're going to talk about a couple things today. I want to talk about this new ammunition. It appears there's a lot of new ammo coming out on the market. One of the most popular right now is that rip round.
Yeah, which I think is junk.
It's garbage. It's rapidly invasive projectile.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, and then we're going to talk about a round that's actually getting quite a bit of attention right now. It's raising a lot of eyebrows.
In a good way.
In a good way. It's the Inceptor ammo by a company called ARX. It's a self-defense ammunition. It's actually a injection molded bullet.
So it's plastic.
It's polymer and crushed copper.
So now I can have a dishwasher bullet with my dishwasher gun?
You can have a dishwasher bullet with your dishwasher gun. Exactly. this is actually getting quite a bit of press. And I'll tell you what, I'm reading about it. We're going to talk about it quite extensively here. But reading about it, I'm impressed with this round. I really am.
Speaking of ammunition, remind me, we need to talk about, somebody sent you a message through your Trinity Tactical page, which I answered.
They did?
Yeah.
Which one?
I took that off your desk without telling you. They asked about when should you rotate your self-defense ammo, so I took that.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was actually a great answer. I'm glad you did. But yeah, well, let's talk about it.
Because there's a couple of us, you know, that are manager page, right?
Right.
So I just figured I'd take that one.
I looked at it and I go, well, I wonder who answered that one. That's actually what I would have said. That's perfect.
The app doesn't tell you who answers it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, all right.
It just shows up as an answer. So we'll talk about Oath Keepers. We're going to talk about this new ammunition.
Oath Keepers? Aren't they a terrorist organization?
No. It depends on who you listen to.
Oh, well, so I only listen to Rachel Maddow on MSNBC.
Oh, well, you need to expand your horizons a little bit. And what do you got for us? We got lined up.
Well, as usual, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. We didn't really get to talk about, and she's talked about it more this week, but Hillary Clinton talking about Australia-style gun confiscation.
Yes.
I think this is a huge development. Not only that, but the NRA is more popular than Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Hillary Clinton called the NRA a terrorist organization
right.
2 weeks ago.
And then there was a huge case this week, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. So the your last stop before you get to the Supreme Court upheld the New York SAFE Act. This is huge and not in a good way, I think.
Okay.
So we'll talk a little bit more about why I think that's going to finally pull the Supreme Court into the assault weapon ban conversation.
I think an assault. Here's my take. I think an assault weapon ban is coming again, and it's going to have far-reaching impact when it does.
Well,
you remember the assault weapon ban of what was it
93 or 4? Yeah,
no, 94 to 2004.
Yep,
it's 10 years and it expired. If
not
this
only,
happens now, I mean, things were the attitude in between 94 and 2004 when it came to Second Amendment firearms issues was far different because I don't think the Second Amendment was being attacked anywhere near the way it is today.
Well, and I kind of wonder, you know, in 1994, we didn't have the internet, or at least we didn't have it like we do now. You know, and I was 15 and not paying much attention to the assault weapon ban. I kind of wonder, you know, would they have been able to pass that in 94 if they had had the grassroots mobilization effort that we have now?
Possibly not.
Because, you know, anytime they start talking about registration or confiscation or a ban outright on magazines or assault weapons, I feel like we're pretty good as a community in mobilizing.
But here's the thing. You know, we had these sweeping victories in the midterm elections on the Republican side.
That's been wasted.
And it was a complete sellout.
Right.
I mean, people, I think, as a whole, I mean, right now, Congress, the Senate, have the lowest approval rating in their history.
Well, because even with a Republican majority, you know, and anybody that knows me knows I'm not a big fan of the Republican Party either. But you would think that if they're riding in on this tidal wave of victory last November, that they would understand they have a mandate from those of us that believe in our basic freedoms.
They don't.
And they're not acting like that.
No,
John Boehner is a turncoat.
Loser.
You know, our majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, he's unbelievably horrible and ineffective. It's been terrible. And we've done nothing to put Barack Obama's power in check.
Yet.
And I don't think they will. Honestly, I don't think they will.
Well, I don't know. I hope they would. I want to be the eternal optimist.
I don't know if...
I'll tell you what. I think there will be a core group of Republicans that, you know, they're going to do the right thing, air quotes.
I don't think so.
But I'll tell you what. I mean, look at what the Democrats have done lately. They've shot everything down. Despite us having a majority in the House, they've shot everything down, and they're getting all their legislation passed.
It's because we were letting them.
Well, but what power do we have to turn the vote in this current House and Senate? None.
We need to talk about some common sense gun safety legislation that was just proposed that I agree with.
Ooh, really?
Okay. Now, everybody's probably interested to know what that is, so we got to talk about that.
I am too, because I haven't heard of this.
And we should talk about concealed carry in the car.
We should. I actually, we did some training on that when I was back at that school with Las Vegas Metro PD. We trained from seated positions.
Well,
and it's important to understand that you got to be able to get that gun. We talked about this just yesterday about shooting through the windshield. And I think it's an important skill to understand that you're far more likely to get confronted in your car, which is the worst place to be in a gunfight.
Oh, and we need to talk about defensive ammunition, too, because that was part of our conversation last night.
Oh, we do, too. You know, because your mobility is so limited in a vehicle.
Are you writing all this stuff down? We're going to forget.
Nah, we're not going to forget. Despite my short-term memory loss, we won't forget. So, all right, so let's get into it.
What do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about Oath Keepers real quick.
The terrorist organization?
The terrorist organization.
That's not. I'm sorry. I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Are. I'm going to come out right now and say something that not too many people outside my circle of trust know.
Okay.
I am a member of Oath Keepers.
Okay.
I head up an organization of Oath Keepers here. It's the Northern Nevada Oath Keepers. And it is a collection of, right now we're at 32 members. And it is a collection of veterans, not only those who have served, but those who have had direct combat experience. Mm-hmm. We have two trauma medics.
Okay.
Both with one is a paramedic in nursing school. The other is a former active duty Navy, U.S. Navy corpsman.
Wait, if you're Obama, it's corpsman.
Corpsman,
right?
He's a okay. Corpsman. Both have complete full trauma kits.
Okay.
We have former Navy intel specialist. We have a former Marine Force Recon Scout Sniper.
So you got a group of good guys,
we have a
right?
group of good, solid, experienced guys who strictly adhere to the bylaws and what is expected of an Oath Keeper. We don't hate the government.
Well, so explain for the audience what when you talk about those bylaws and you talk about what Oath Keepers, what is Oath Keepers?
Oath Keepers is a group of former law enforcement officers and veterans who at one time in their career raised their right hand and swore an oath to protect the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Okay.
Now, that does not mean that we're waiting to get our Patriot card punched and go to war with the government. We're not.
Right.
We rue that day. What we are is a group of individuals that are highly trained in our craft who stand ready to support both the honorable men and women that we know exist in our National Guard, our active duty military, and our law enforcement. Are there people in those ranks that I don't want to necessarily say would intend to violate their oath? No, but there are people in those ranks, like we saw in the video of Katrina, that will follow orders because they're too young or too scared
right.
to question
it. Well, and speaking of Katrina, I started hearing more and more about this group after Katrina. So was there any basis for them being created around that time, or is that just something that brought out this idea that law enforcement and military could be asked to violate?
I think Katrina was definitely a catalyst in the creation of Oath Keepers. You know, we stand ready for what we call that poop hit the fan moment.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a devastating natural disaster, whether it be a martial law situation, you know, any of those incidents, you know, we stand ready to protect our citizens, standing on the line both with law enforcement, National Guard, you know, in conjunction with what they're doing.
All right,
so we're going to go to a break here real quick. We'll come back, and I know you've got some questions about it too. We're going to come back, continue to talk about Oath Keepers real quick, and then we'll get into some really cool stuff about ammunition. And we'll be right back after this break. Listen to Ben and Gary on KNews 107.3 FM. Armored. And you're back. Listen to Armed Nevada Radio with Ben and Gary. We're talking about Oath Keepers right now and what their mission is. And, you know, they've received some really bad, and by bad I mean deliberate press that is just highly inaccurate and outright lies that isn't based on fact at all.
But you know what? Part of that is this administration. Anybody that stands up for the Constitution or I think is a Christian is automatically deemed a risk or a threat.
Well, that's the other thing about our group of individuals. We're all believers. And, I made that clear at when we had our first meeting that although it was not, a mandatory standard that you had to adhere to,
right,
everybody's welcome. And, as long as you adhere to the honorable principles that we all did when we wore the uniform and first served, that's what I expect. We need to conduct ourselves both on and off duty with the same honor and dignity that we once did.
Yeah.
We are here as protectors. We are here as warriors. We are here, to stand on that line between whether it's between tyranny and our citizens or to ward off, rioting, looting, whether it's in our community or in our neighborhoods.
I think the challenge is, though, the general public lives in a state of absolute ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're wrapped up in your reality television or whatever else is going on, online or on the television, I think they don't understand the cultural war that is being waged against those of us that have ideals that align with the Constitution and matters of faith.
I'll tell you what, make no mistake about it. There's a war coming.
I think it's already here.
I just learned this morning that Obama just signed legislation to defund the military. He vetoed legislation
the National Defense Appropriation Act.
$612 billion that would have gone to raises for our service members, would have gone to fund. He vetoed it because he wants to put pressure on the Republicans to pass his other agendas.
Right.
So you attack the very individuals that stand and serve and fight for this country? What are you, nuts?
Yeah, it's disgusting to politicize the military like that.
Exactly. I tell you what, I'm going to come right out and say it. He has an agenda. Obama has an agenda to destroy this country from the vision that it was to the vision that he now sees for it. And I'll say something else, too. You know what? Label me for being paranoid. Go ahead. My hunch, I put a lot of stock in my sixth sense, my spidey senses, my hunches based on experience. But I'll tell you, my hunch is that this is going to be a crucial year between now and November of 2016. And I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I believe that he has no intent to leave office.
Mm. I know we've talked about that before. And that really draws a lot of criticism from people when you state that.
Well, you know what? I hope I'm wrong. But
I hope so too.
I look at the things that are happening. I see the things he's doing, the things he's already done that have just decimated this country, both in our local view of it and in our international view of this. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Nobody trusts us.
No, our foreign policy is a joke now.
It's an embarrassment. Did you see an interview with Steve Cross and Obama?
No. Well, I watched the part that you posted on your Facebook.
That was awesome. I was surprised coming from Steve Cross. He flat out slammed Obama.
I kept waiting for the punchline because it was embarrassing. So maybe we should post that now that we're talking about it. Oh, all right. Now that we've gotten off on a happy...
Hopefully we haven't put everybody in the dumps today. I want to talk about some ammunition.
All right,
I'm actually really excited about.
Let's talk about ammunition.
This is a company called Inceptor by Polycase. The company's called ARX.
Okay.
And they are producing a revolutionary bullet called the Polycase ARX bullet. And what this round is, it's actually a injection molded polymer that is infused with crushed copper.
Okay.
And the reason they're doing it, they first started to produce this ammo for national security forces because what they're finding out is national security forces are using this. Their ammunition is being recovered by the enemy, both by cartels and by enemies overseas. And what they're doing is they're grabbing the casings because that's the hardest part for them to get. They can get the bullets. They can get the primers. They can't get powder or cases.
Uh-huh.
So what they're doing is recovering these cases off the battlefield, very quickly resizing them, repriming them, putting a new bullet in it, and they're using powder from locally obtained fireworks.
Okay.
And I can't imagine how reliable that bullet is, but...
Sounds sketchy.
I don't want to stand in front of one. You know, regardless of however what, right. what garbage they put into it to make it make a propellant. So they started producing this bullet. Now, this bullet almost looks... It's got grooves in it.
Looks like a propeller almost.
It looks like a propeller, like a boat propeller.
Yeah.
And the way they explained it was... Take a 164 grain 9mm bullet, okay?
Yeah.
Now pretend you're standing in a motorboat.
Yeah.
And your boat, you've got your outboard motor, the outboard motor's out of the water.
Okay.
Now turn that propeller on full throttle, slam that propeller into the water.
And that's the effect?
What happens is that propeller now churns that water at tremendous force, sometimes 3 to 4 times the force that the propeller is spinning,
okay.
and shoves it outwards. Now, this bullet does the same thing. When this bullet enters flesh, they've tested this on gelatin. They've tested it on pig carcasses.
Yeah.
When this bullet enters the human body, it's entering the human body at about 1,400 feet per second.
Yeah.
As it enters the body, it is spinning because of those grooves, which help it maintain stability, just like the grooves on your gun.
Okay.
And it is now propelling that liquid force that is, you know, because the body is basically liquid,
right?
It's propelling that force. Now the bullet enters the body about 1,400 feet per second. It is now propelling that force in the organs at 2,500 to 3,500 feet per second.
Wow,
that is some massive kinetic energy.
Trauma. Yeah,
and the bullets are cheaper to produce
okay.
than copper and lead bullets.
I like that.
It also answers the question of, well, you know, California bans lead now. You can't use lead anywhere.
Right.
And the RIP bullet, this rapidly invasive projectile, it's garbage.
Right.
There's no kinetic energy behind this thing. It does not have the energy necessary to create this trauma inside the organs that you want when you shoot somebody in the high center chest.
Yeah.
That's where the big blood-bearing organs are, the lungs and the heart.
Right.
Rapidly invasive projectile just does not have what it takes. This round is showing some tremendous promise. Now, right now, they're putting the round inside brass cases. They are developing a polymer case for this round that will withstand the pressures that it incurs when it's inside the chamber of the gun. So I'm enthusiastic to see that. But I'll tell
Interesting.
You what, this is getting some great, great reviews. I just found the part in the article here. The kinetic energy that is being forced into the body once this projectile enters a human torso, anywhere from 2,500 feet per second, generating fluid displacement at velocities ranging from 3,750 feet per second to 5,000 feet per second. So I was wrong on that first estimate.
Yeah.
Bullet enters at about normal hollow point round will enter the human body, create energy forces at 2,500 feet per second with fluid displacement. This round now is creating fluid displacement at 3,750 to 5,000 feet per second. That will straight up liquefy your organs.
I'm looking forward to it because if it's cheaper, if it's got stopping power, if it can make it through, you know, the four layers of denim type test, that sounds promising.
We'll have to ask Rudy about that battle-borne ammo. We'll have to ask him.
What's that going to do to his business if everybody moves to a polymer?
Well, knowing Rudy, I think he'll start, you know, getting dealer prices on this.
I can't imagine you can reload polymer.
You can't, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
They want to develop this polymer casing for the security forces because now the enemy can't pick these things off
and
the battlefield
it.
And reuse it.
Yeah.
Right?
Huh.
And even if they do recover the bullet, and the only deformation they're showing on this round is when it's fired into Kevlar.
Yeah.
The bullet stays pretty much intact when it enters the human body.
Yeah.
But you can't reuse the bullet without the proper casing.
Right.
So,
huh. Yeah, interesting. Okay.
So we're going to go to a break, and we will be back right after this break. You're listening to Ben and Gary, 107.3 FM K News, Armed Nevada Radio. All right. You're back with Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio. Ben, you've got some interesting stuff you want to talk about.
Well, in terms of self-defense ammo, let's talk a little bit about... There was a group that put out probably one of the most comprehensive look or tests of self-defense ammunition that I've seen since I started following this. Mm-hmm. So they tested, I'm specifically interested in the 9mm, but they tested 380, 9mm, 40, and 45. So all the most popular handgun rounds.
How did 380 perform, do you know?
Well, so they measured a couple of things. They measured velocity, expansion, and penetration depth, which, you know, are the primary criteria. Mm-hmm. So none of the only two rounds that performed with a relative, equivalency of, like, let's say a 9mm in terms of expansion and penetration was the Hornady Critical Defense 90 grain in 380. It made it an average of 13.2 inches into the block. So that average is right there where the FBI standard is supposed to be, mm-hmm. with a half inch of the five shot average diameter and expansion. So that one, decent. Winchester Train and Defense and the Winchester PDX-1 all did mostly all right.
Okay.
9mm. The ones that did all right are the ones that you and I think favor. The Spear Gold Dots did really well. The Corbon did really well, and I've never shot any of their ammunition. They did really well in terms of penetration and also shot placement and expansion. The other one was, this is no surprise, Federal HST,
mm-hmm.
Which is their newest version of their HydroShock bullet. And what was the other one that did really well? Winchester PDX-1, and then the Ranger, which those are pretty similar. So really, it's kind of the big names. The Rangers, the Gold Dots, the
Federal,
and the Federal. HydroShock did okay. But the thing is if I'm going to go buy a bullet and the HST is usually sitting right next to the HydroShock, I'd rather buy the HST. It's a newer bullet. It had more consistent test results than the HydroShock. Although, having said that, you know, a lot of people I've talked to, I don't know where this... A lot of people are carrying Full Metal Jacket, and I try and correct that whenever I can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, why...
Lousy for a defense round.
I'd rather have them pick up a HydroShock than a Full Metal Jacket. So anyways, 40, a little bit more consistent in terms of penetration, like the Spear 165 grain gold dot, went way, like 25 inches through ballistic gelatin. That's like way over the FBI standard. So I don't know if you'd be worried about over-penetration. Ranger did really well. PDX did really well. The Golden Sabres did better in 40 than they did in 9. So I don't know. I thought this was interesting. I'll post the link to our page so everybody can take a look at it. And
yeah, I'd like to see that.
I think it's by far the... And then they have images of the expanded bullets so you can see which bullets actually had the best expansion.
Well, it seems like, you know, 9mm is performing tremendously well in law enforcement studies. In fact,
right.
Most law enforcement countries and most law enforcement agencies in this country
have
are switching from
yep.
40 cal to 9mm.
Right.
Specifically because it performs much better.
It's cheaper. You got better capacity in your magazines.
Yep.
The FBI switched, was that last year? You know,
yes.
And they were the ones that drove the creation of the 40, Smith & Wesson, after the Miami shootout.
Right, after the 10mm performed so badly.
Right. Well, and the fact that the 10mm is super expensive. It
yeah.
tears up gun frames.
Yep.
So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting for anybody that's interested. And it just kind of reaffirmed those four or five different brands are still the best. But what I did notice, though, with 9mm is... There's either bullets that perform or there's bullets that don't. There's not a lot of in between. So, you know, those four or five we talked about are the ones that perform. Hornady did not do very well in the 9mm tests. So I know last night I saw you carrying some.
I do. I have Hornady in my SIG right now, only because my wife had an extra box of it and I haven't had a chance to go out and get, you know, some different hollow points.
I think maybe you should.
When I was carrying a 45,
yeah.
I carried Spear Gold Dot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that round.
Well, that's
but you
only,
can't find it.
I know. That's my big gripe. As I was telling you last night, I bought 8 boxes at Sportsman's Warehouse right after Sandy Hook, thinking they'd be hard to find, and lo and behold, I was right. I haven't seen them anywhere.
How what's the availability, you know, on the others, the Winchester, the Ranger, the
I've seen Ranger at Cabela's. And then the Federal HydroShock and HST, they're everywhere. Walmart, you know, shields, just about. I mean, so I don't think you're going to have any trouble finding the federal. And I wouldn't hesitate to carry the HST.
Yeah.
I have a couple of boxes of that at home just in case.
Well, you know, I know ammo is expensive these days. It's come down quite a bit, but still, I mean, when it comes to your life and the lives of your family, you know, like we always say, buy once, cry once.
Right. Well, you know what? The HST.
Don't skimp on self-defense ammo.
You know, the good self-defense ammo is only $2 more than the crappy stuff. If you look at, like, the HST, I think it's $23.99 a box.
For a box of 50?
A box of 20. I mean, it's...
So you spend...
But you know what? Actually, in this...
$50 for two boxes.
This comes to our next question is, how long should you have self-defense ammunition?
Here's my thoughts on that. As long as you maintain that ammo properly in a, you know, humid-free...
Right.
I'm not, you know, not necessarily climate control, but, you know, as long as it's not... You know, you're storing it in your truck all summer. As long as you keep that ammo in its, if you're going to store it in a case, keep it in its original case.
Not wet.
Not wet. Don't expose it to humidity. Don't expose it to solvents.
Right.
That ammo will last a lifetime or more. And I'll tell you, I have firsthand knowledge of this.
Yeah.
I used to be a picker, right?
Yeah.
And my buddy and I were metal detectors. And we were also huge historical, World War II historical nuts.
Right.
We went out to what was called the California-Arizona Maneuvering Area, which is outside of Gila Bend, Arizona. And it was an expansive site where they trained. In fact, General Patton actually commanded it in the years that he was there.
Yeah.
It was a huge training site for armored forces training for North Africa and eventually the Pacific.
Okay.
And so we're out there metal detecting at what used to be the training area, and we found where the mortar range was. We found where the rifle training range was. We found where they parked all the armor. I mean, you can still see that stuff out there. So I'm out there metal detecting.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, dude, I get a huge hit.
Right.
And it's very sandy, almost like decomposed granite and sand.
Okay.
So I dug down probably about almost 12 inches. And I found a handful of 30-06 and 45 ACP.
Did you shoot that? You're crazy.
I found that ammo. Now, it was chocolate brown in color.
Okay.
It wasn't rusted. It wasn't decayed. It wasn't pitted.
It's because it was in the desert.
Patinaed.
Right.
It had been stored in a super dry, relatively same temperature almost all year long, except during the fall and winter. But it had been stored, quote unquote, properly. So, and this ammo, they used to date the cases of the ammunition. And this ammo was dated 1941 from the Denver Ordnance Plant.
Okay.
So what did I do? I took 8 of those 30-06 rounds, put them in an end block, shoved them into the chamber of my M1 Garand, slammed the bolt, fired, and every one of those rounds fired flawlessly.
Unbelievable. From 1941.
I'll tell you this. When I was in Iraq, when I was a 50 gunner,
yeah.
I cracked open a can of 50 cal ammunition. Those rounds were all dated anywhere from 1943 to 1951.
That's crazy.
They were Korean War and World War II vintage.
Surplus.
Had been linked for 70 years.
That's nuts. Yeah. Well, so anyways, and then the other question was that we got through your page was, how do I know when it's time to change self-defense ammo in my carry gun?
I don't change the ammo.
Well, so the way I answered it is, there's two things you got to watch for. One is head spacing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure the bullet isn't getting shoved further down into the casing, because if that's the case, then you're going to have an issue with overpressure and possibly. So what I do is periodically, excuse me, is I'll just line up my rounds, just make sure they're all the same height. And if there's one that's lower, toss it.
I agree with that. I've had that issue with my when I had my 45 carry gun. Before I switched to the SIG, I had that issue and I got rid of those rounds.
I haven't had that issue with any of my polymers. The other thing I look for is I just kind of run my finger around the rim of the cartridge. And if I notice anything really, really rough, then I think it's time to cycle that out. And I'll actually take that and shoot it the next time I go out to the range.
Right.
Just because the rougher that rim gets, the greater chance you have a failure to extract.
Well, and you should inspect your ammo. If it's dented, if it's crushed, if it's, you know, the bullet is shoved down below the crimp where it should be, change that ammo out. Definitely periodically inspect your rounds, and that's probably the best advice I can give you.
When we come back from the next commercial break, let's talk about the common sense gun legislation I agree with.
Awesome. I'm waiting to hear that. All right. You'll be back with Ben and Gary in just a moment. KNews 107.3, Armed Nevada Radio. All right. right, you're back with Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio. Ben has some information on common sense gun legislation, and I'm just chomping at the bit to hear what it is.
Well, you know, that's the buzzword now, right? Common sense gun safety legislation.
Which I think everybody is in favor of. Common sense, not ridiculous and paranoid.
Well, here is some common sense gun legislation I can get behind, and I think you can too. So the National Firearms Act essentially made it so that suppressors, or I hate this term, silencers, because that's not what they are, suppressors are a regulated item under the NFA, which means you got to do a gun trust or you got to go through the tax stamp process. It's fairly laborious. It's time consuming. And there's all kinds of additional regulations that scare people.
It takes about 6 months, I think, to get your class
to. Right. Plus, because of the cost and the time, nobody's really buying them, or I think a lot of people that would buy them aren't. And that's causing the price of suppressors to go sky high, right? Because I don't think you can find a suppressor for less than a grand.
Oh, yeah, at the very minimum. Very expensive.
So Republicans have proposed, and I think this is common sense, and I think it's also safety, they're proposing to remove suppressors from the NFA or being an NFA-regulated item.
Right.
I completely agree.
I do, too.
Because, you know what? When you and I are out on the range for longer than 6 or 7 hours, no matter what kind of hearing protection we use, my ears ring afterward.
Oh, yeah. And I have hearing damage anyway, so it's still bothering me.
Well, and not only that, but, you know, you can be anybody that's been on a range for long enough, you as disciplined as you are with your hearing protection, eventually you're going to get caught off guard and boom, boom, you're going to have rounds go off and you're not ready for it. I've had it happen. I know you've had it happen.
I've had it happen. I've had students that have neglected to put their ears on, and just before the trigger's pulled, I'll go, and bam. I forgot.
There is no reason why we should all be sacrificing our hearing and the hearing of our children for this stupid cockamamie idea that suppressors are somehow inherently evil.
Okay.
Or that they somehow mask, you know, because I think everybody believes what Hollywood has told us, that the suppressor will make it very quiet and you can commit crimes without anybody hearing or knowing. You know what?
You ever been around a suppressor on the range?
That's a crock.
Oh, you can hear them.
Right.
And you can hear them from quite a distance.
Right.
Now, definitely the decibel level is reduced significantly with a suppressor.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, and the silent ninja-like stealth approach, the suppressors just don't offer it.
But the nice thing is, especially with what we do, handgun rounds, for the most part, you can fire without needing hearing protection. You're going to hear it, but you're not going to need the hearing protection. Mm-hmm. And how amazing would it be to go out to the range or go out to the desert and be able to take your kids out there and not have to, or even yourself, and not have to police hearing protection all day long?
You need to testify before Congress on
this. I love it. So anyways, I'm behind.
Right before Obama vetoes it.
I'm completely for this common sense gun safety legislation.
This will never get past the president's desk.
I know, but I'm for it.
I am too. I don't understand why suppressors are regulated anyway. I mean, really.
You know, somebody I'm sure will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it came from the 1927 National Firearms Act. It was in the same, they included the short barrel shotguns. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other things that were included in that. So I don't see any reason why we have to have those as regulated.
You know, I can understand short-barreled shotguns. I can understand short-barreled rifles. I can understand
street sweepers.
I can understand full auto or select fire weapons. Oh,
this would be a good topic for another day, actually.
I get that, but suppressors? Come on.
Yeah. So I'm all for deregulating these. So the next thing let's talk about is the Second Circuit Court of Appeals has denied the appeal. I think it was the New York, God, what's the group? The gun rights group there in New York. The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association challenged the SAFE Act. And the SAFE Act is where they're limiting the ability to transfer assault weapons. Mm-hmm. You can't purchase assault weapons. And this is all their verbiage,
I hate the term assault weapons.
I do too. They're limiting to 10-round magazines, and they were limiting you to loading those 10-round magazines with only 7 rounds. Remember that?
Yes.
So they challenged it in court. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals threw out the 7-round limit because they said that was stupid. But they affirmed the 10-round magazine limit, and they also affirmed the ban on quote-unquote assault rifles. And what they did, the interesting thing about this is I'm hoping that they finally, Well, and I say I'm hoping the court maintains its current makeup when they hear this case, because they're basically contradicting McDonald and Heller, those landmark decisions right. about personal firearms ownership, because they're saying that some firearms are more dangerous than others. That was the reasoning of the Second Circuit.
Well, look at how they're attacking gun rights right now. They're trying to make it as difficult and as expensive
yep.
and as laborious a process to buy guns as they can, in the hopes that people just won't buy guns.
Right.
Well, look, if I'm a member of the Broadway Crips, okay, I'm not going to go buy a gun. I'll steal that sucker, or I'll jack it from somebody else.
Well, you might buy it from your buddy that jacked it from
right.
somebody.
You know, I'm not dealing with an FFL dealer. I'm not walking in and going, excuse me, I would like to purchase a weapon. I'm a gang member.
Well,
it's not happening.
You know how many
Well,
I was just going to say, you know how many friends in law enforcement I have, and
right.
I've asked them, how many crimes have you seen committed with a AR-15 or an AK-47?
Zero.
Yeah. It's not an issue.
Less than 1% of all active shootings that we've had were committed with an AR or an AK.
Right.
Right. In fact, I think only 3% of the total shootings that have happened across this country, only 3% were committed with a rifle of some sort.
Well, and during that 10-year assault weapons ban from 1994 to 2004, there was no drop in violent crime. There was no drop in homicides committed with rifles. So it's the assault weapons ban doesn't do anything to prevent crime. And
right.
that's
there's
the big
no
thing.
Denying that the assault weapons ban of 94 to 2004
was a failure.
Was a complete failure.
Yep.
Right. I'll tell you what, though. We talked about this off mic a little bit. I hate to say it, but I see another ban coming.
I sure hope not.
I do. And I'll tell you what scares the hell out of me is Hillary actually getting elected by the same buffoons, the same ignorant buffoons that elected Obama twice.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, she has a great shot at being the next president of this country. And she has made no bones about it, her stance on Second Amendment issues, calling the NRA a terrorist organization.
Well, you want to hear this quote from her?
Sure.
Quote, the Australian example, that was a buyback program. Offered a good price for buying hundreds of thousands of guns, and then they basically clamped down going forward. They were thus able, she explained, to curtail, quote, curtail the supply of guns and to, quote, to set a different standard for gun purchases in the future. So here she is running for president. She's made no bones about the fact that she supports Australian-style
yep.
gun confiscation.
Said that it's worth looking into.
Buyback laws. Well, here she's not even saying that we should look into it. She's advocating for
it. Well, I'll tell you what. This is what I want to ask Hillary. Mrs. Clinton, who are you going to get to enforce this? Are you actually telling us that you are going to send SWAT teams from BLM and the Department of Engraving to citizens' doors that refuse to sell their guns back? Look at the history. Look at right after Sandy Hook.
Right.
Connecticut legislatively mandated a gun registration program.
If
you own a firearm, you must register it in the state of Connecticut. How many people showed up?
What did they say? 10%? Was it?
Under 100.
10 or 20%. I mean, it wasn't.
Under 100 people showed up.
Well, and the funny part was when they started putting together lists of who to go after, they realized that most of the cops that would be enforcing this were on the list.
Yep. You couldn't enforce it. So, you know, go ahead. Use this as a tagline for your campaign. Yeah, you're going to get votes. But you know what? I dare you to come to our houses and seize weapons from us, because you know that people will refuse.
I hope.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you. Given the current climate with gun rights, you will have people refusing on a massive scale. What are you going to do? You're going to come to 320 million homes
right.
and jack their door and take their guns? Good luck. You will incite the next civil war.
I hope it never comes to that.
I don't know. I hope not, too. But you know how Hillary considers herself. She's royalty.
Right.
How dare you question me? Did you see her at the hearings yesterday?
Yeah.
Did you see her body language?
Well,
I would have climbed down off that dais and slapped that look off her face.
She couldn't stop smirking and laughing, too. That was the other thing.
Holding her head in her hand like she's all bored.
Right.
If I was Trey Gowdy, I would have said, oh, I'm sorry. Am I boring you?
I think Hillary is the biggest threat to the Second Amendment to come along and
come along. And, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I'm giving you signs out here.
I know. Yeah, well, no, I honestly, I think Hillary Clinton is the biggest threat to the Second Amendment that's come along in a long time. You know, even Barack towed the line that he supports the Second Amendment when he ran for president.
BS.
Well, he did when he ran for president. I don't agree with that. That's how he feels. But here, Hillary is advocating United Kingdom or Australian style gun control as she's running for president. We're in trouble.
Okay. We're going to wrap this up. We have a special guest coming in on our show next week, so you really want to listen.
I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm really excited about it. So it's been a great hour. Ben, we're out of here.
Let's do it.
Are we getting a burrito?
Possibly. I'm pretty hungry.
All right. You've been listening to Ben and Gary, 107.3 FM, Armed Nevada Radio. We'll see you next week, folks. Stay armed. Stay safe.